the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
On the start today. It's okay. Tuesday night, March 3rd, 2020, episode 630 of The Rant. It's officially live across the airwaves of Rant Entertainment Media, rantemradio.com, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and a plethora of other platforms. Double A, as always, being joined by Tony C.
Who's the man?
And also
who's
being... What was that?
Who's the man?
We're also being joined by the Silver One.
Good evening.
Oh, man. So, we're late. Only because... that's my fault. We were running a little late today. Dinner ran long.
I feel you on that. I got a birthday dinner I'm supposed to go to on the 17th.
On St. Patrick's Day.
I'm hoping it don't run long. Yeah.
Who would... So, a birthday dinner at a restaurant?
Yeah.
How convenient on St. Patrick's Day of all days that you would want to throw a dinner at a restaurant.
I'm not doing it.
Well, not you. Why not you? Not you.
I'm still just trying to decide if I'm going to show my face.
If you do, make sure you dress in green.
No, oh, man, I don't got too much green. Green ain't my color. I'm a Lakers fan. Well, I used to be a Lakers fan, so
okay.
I don't really wear no green.
Well, but yeah, dinner ran a little long. We ordered out tonight, but still, they took their sweet-ass time getting me that to-go order. So,
you know, I got wings waiting on me.
I know.
As soon as the show is over.
I had a Texas Roadhouse. Had me my herb-crusted chicken with a cactus blossom and things like that.
Cactus blossom.
I'm good to go.
So high, Diddy.
But I've been up since 6:30 this morning, so a little wired right now. Had to go in for some training today. Work, so I had to report early.
At the Jizzaw.
Yep. So.
And you would come. We would start a show late on Super Tuesday, huh?
On Super Tuesday, I didn't even think about that. Let's go to the cable news network and see if John King is at the big board.
He's been working it. I guess it's about 7 o'clock.
Well. So here we go. Biden is currently in the lead in Minnesota, and he's probably in the lead in general. So,
oh, man, Joe Biden is kicking Bernie Sanders' ass all over this country.
Not necessarily. I mean, when California comes in.
I won't take this ass-cooking sitting down.
You're going to challenge damn Joe Biden to a match at WrestleMania.
If anybody else, you know, wants to wrestle at WrestleMania, I feel that I could do it as well. I don't know how good my Bernie Sanders impression is, but...
You sound like old Jew.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow. That was rather insensitive and rather insulting, Surfer.
Very distasteful.
Anyways, so... yeah, a lot of things to talk about today. We'll touch on that in a little bit, but yeah, so had to go in early for some training and then did stuff here in the house, raced out to get the dinner, so and that's why we're a little late today. But it's okay. And, you know, while I was waiting for my dinner, I was able to squeeze in the latest episode of Ruthless Aggression. And they did a very good job, I will admit, what has not been the best episode, but they did a very good job.
I mean, with this episode, it was only so much they can do, because the person
you know
they
what?
Were...
I thought that they would have covered a little bit more during those first 2 years, like his match with the Iron Man with Kurt Angle, the Zach Gowen thing,
Zach ain't getting no love. He just got a little video clip at the end.
Really? I didn't even see that part.
Yup.
But yeah. So, we're going to talk about a little bit about wrestling. A little bit about everything.
Y'all can talk about wrestling.
There's a paper. Oh, you didn't watch last night.
Hell no, I told
you. That's right, you gave up. There's a pay-per-view on Sunday Elimination Chamber. But I'll recap.
Last Saturday night.
There was. I'll talk about a little bit about that as well. But there was...
somebody's wife was backstage that worked for another company.
Yeah, but she didn't do anything. She was just there cheering her husband on.
Being the skirt that she is, huh?
I gotta say something, though, about AEW. Don't go to Chicago so much.
Well, they love to give people a chance to shout CM Punk. So.
But you know what? And speaking of CM Punk, I don't know if he's on tonight, but supposedly we're going to get our next WWE... inductee revealed during WWE Backstage tonight.
Well, you know that it's the first win Tuesday of the month, so he probably ain't on there.
He's probably watching the returns. Anyways, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. If we're still on the air when they break that story, we'll reveal it. But
I mean, hell, they already put the Bella Twins in. What's left? Who's left to insult that ain't got in there yet?
They could induct Harvey Whippleman.
For real. Goddamn Clarence Mason going into the Hall of Fame next.
Ahmed Johnson.
You know what?
That's one of those rare exceptions. That's one of those rare exceptions where the Bella Twins actually exceed the
they don't, because Ahmed run was more goddamn entertaining that crap they was doing.
I don't know, man.
Like hell, Ahmed fighting Farouk, Black Nito. Come on, man. That was epic TV when Sonny bought him in.
Key race alert.
Ahmed Johnson in the kidneys with a brick.
That's true.
Come on now.
Oh man. Anyways, so yeah, lots to talk about. I have to talk about Firehouse Subs.
I know they've been running ads on my TV.
Well, don't go to
like them. They got good subs.
No, they don't. We had lunch from them on Thursday, and I won't say who, but it wasn't me, but somebody that I'm married to got sick off these subs.
Oh, damn.
So yeah, don't go to Firehouse Subs.
Which sub was it? That,
it was a turkey sub.
Just a turkey sub. Gave some bad turkey meat, huh?
Bad turkey. And let me tell you. She brought it all back up, including her lunch from 1994.
It was one of them situations.
Yeah,
where she regurgitated it all.
Yeah.
It wasn't food poisoning.
I don't know. It's possible.
Oh,
you know,
well, that ain't never good.
So yeah,
she was calling Earl all day.
pretty much.
She pulled the Titus O'Neil.
It was a little bit more and violent. JBL had. It was a little more violent than that.
Oh, man. It was worse than Titus?
Yeah.
And JBL had. Oh, man.
Oh, man. So, lots to talk about. Surfer? Well, first, change it up. Surfer, anything interesting happening with you this past week?
No, not really. Feeling better than I was when I was sick.
Okay. Well, that's good.
You know, made it through leap year with no problem.
You leaped right into the 29th, huh?
The year ain't over, but okay.
No, leap year's only a day.
It's called leap year day, not just the year itself.
Okay.
Yeah, but it presses all of the lost time from 4 years into one day.
And I'm sure you used all of those quarter days over the course of, you know, from 2016 to 2020. There's John King on the board. I'm sure you utilized all quarter hours, you know, quarter days, doing something very productive. Like you probably went to the movies, I'm sure.
You know you did.
I did go to the movie Saturday. So what?
See? And what did you see?
Onward.
Onward?
Yes.
Okay.
Ain't that the Harrison Ford movie?
No, that's Call of the Wild.
Oh.
This is a Pixar movie.
Oh. So you saw a cartoon. Okay. Gotcha.
What about you, Tony? See anything interesting with you this past week?
No, nothing too much. You know, I don't know if you saw it. Got to see the Candyman trailer drop this week, and
yeah, I saw that.
That one, the you I was talking about. We know nothing cinema wise gets past
Skips
you, buddy.
You.
Exactly.
Well, I don't like them kind of movies. I saw the trailer.
Of course.
He's abreast of the situation, Tony C.
Exactly. I found out a buddy of mine who used to be on this network has really want to say he's really afraid of Candyman. He used to have a show that followed this show on Tuesday nights.
Speaking of which.
Not that guy.
No. Speaking of which, if there's anybody else that that formerly used to be a part of this network and wants to return for a one-night shot, you cannot call your terms. Just putting that out there. Keep in mind, contrary to popular belief, it's not Phil's network, it's AA's network, and I call the shots, and if you come back for a one-night shot, it's because I invited you back for a one-night shot, so you have to adhere to my rules.
But not only that, though, you can't call a shot after you've already returned for a one-night shot before and try to call a shot on your second return. You dig? That don't make no sense, but okay. But I know that person who was trying to call the shot was not given that idea that was fed to him by somebody. You know what I'm saying? So
a lot of people giving him bad advice, as Paul Heyman said.
Exactly. Damn, that fit in just like that. That fit in so, that was so appropriate right there. That was a good one. But, yeah, I was going to say, try to make some things happen for WrestleMania weekend. And some, like Paul Heyman says, people get bad advice, so. So, got to fall by the wayside. You know? all I can say is I tried. You know, I try to broker, you know, situations. You know, winning situations, and people just, like you say, they get bad advice. So I'm gonna just leave it alone. And,
you know, and if people still don't understand, I'm going to set it in a way that you can understand. Now, Tony C is going to play Tony C, and I'm going to play Double A. It's appropriate that we should play those roles. And Surfer, you'll just be an observer. An observer. Now, Tony C, I'm destitute, and I need a handout. Will you loan me $100?
If you really need it, yes, sir.
Okay. Tony C, since you're gonna loan me $100, I need you to make it $250. You need to put it in small change. I need all the bills facing up, and I need it with a rubber band around the bills on the back end of the stack and on the front end of the stack, and preferably if the rubber bands are red, that would work best. Thank you.
Well, that offer would no longer be on the table. So.
Well, do you see? That's what this person tried to do. Exactly that.
Yeah, basically, you know. I tried, man. That's one thing y'all can say, people can say about me. You know, I try to broker scenarios where we can have a good time and, you know, have fun on the air, but sometimes don't work out that way, you know. Sometimes people's egos get the best of them and stuff.
I think what I'm ultimately going to have to do is during WrestleMania weekend do a special of a new show that we've never done called Geeks and Freaks.
Now you try to really piss some people off.
Anyways.
You're going to debut. You're going to be petty on WrestleMania weekend? Really?
Oh, I could be very petty on WrestleMania weekend. Wouldn't be the first time I've been accused of that.
No, somebody accused you of being petty?
I mean, we could do Geeks and Freaks. We could do the pro wrestling telephone show. You know,
call it a wrestling show.
We could do discussion dinner, and
wow,
we could do a whole bunch of shows.
Wow, just to be petty.
Just to be petty, if I wanted to.
Wow. He said the call-in wrestling show.
No, the pro wrestling telephone show.
What was the pro wrestling telephone show?
The pro wrestling telephone show.
Oh, what time would that come on? Saturday nights at 11?
Probably. Oh, man.
Oh, my damn. Old Buck versus Young Head?
Yeah.
Now you just being petty, yo. Stop it.
Oh, man. Anyways, anywho.
Next thing you know, you're going to come up with a show called The Comic Book Show that you're reading.
The What Are You Not Reading comic book show.
What comic book are you not reading? Comic book. Yeah.
Why are you making fun of the show?
Oh, and we've already got somebody who's volunteering to host the pro wrestling telephone show.
I know it's. I bet it's Phil.
Well, no, it's not Phil. It's Bill.
Oh, Bill.
Bill. Well, we haven't figured out what his last name is. Bill Jaya.
Bill Jaya. Oh my God, the pro wrestling telephone show. I'm dead. The pro wrestling telephone show. What about a report on sports? That one go? No go. That show.
You know, it doesn't fit WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, just WrestleMania weekend.
It's just for WrestleMania. Okay. You know.
Okay.
And instead of Surfer's Fun Time Show, it will be Surfer's Entertainment Entertaining Moment Show.
Oh my goodness, yo. I had fun on Turnbuckle Throwbacks Friday. Surfer, I'm sorry you couldn't get in there.
That's right, Bill Jaya, the not so closet racist.
Yeah, Bill Jaya. No, that's Phil Rea's show. See, you hiring this new person on air persona.
But that's the thing. We're gonna have all these shows on our substation, Rant EM Radio 0.2, and Bill Jaya.
Is gonna host the what's the name of the beginning again? Double A,
the Pro Wrestling Telephone Show.
The Pro Wrestling Telephone Show. So his brother hosts the Turnbuckle Throwback.
That's right.
And then he
his cousin, his racist cousin,
his racist cousin. There it is.
Oh boy,
this not a bad idea. Get some new voices on his air, on the airwaves. New content.
Oh, we have a co-host, by the way, for the Pro Wrestling Telephone Show. It'll be Bill Jaya and his co-host Cage.
Cage.
Yes, Cage. You know, like Johnny Cage, you know.
Oh, okay. I got you. I got it now.
Anyways, so yeah, you called into Turnbuckle Throwbacks on Friday. I just happened to chime in, you know.
No, you were licking your chops.
Oh, come on now.
Stole my spotlight, my triumphant return to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks airwaves. Haven't been on. You know, I've been letting people, you know what I'm saying, get their shine on. And the night I call in, here come Double A spewing this Bill Goldberg conspiracy theories all over the place.
Listen.
Wouldn't let me have my 5 minutes of fame.
Oh, you had your 5 minutes, and then I just had to clear the air.
I already don't get enough airtime on this network, but that's neither here nor there. Say that tongue in cheek, but I was just glad to be on finally with Jay. I wish Choppy was there. I don't get a chance to be, you know, chop it up with him too often.
No.
You know, he's around having all these babies.
Yeah.
Taking up all the nerve of him to be procreating. We got a network to run around him. Nerve of him being a good father, being in his child's life.
I think with the next kid, I think Choppy's gonna, you know, take that bell that he always rings. He's gonna take it with him and do the show while his wife is giving birth, and he'll just ring, ding, 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 you know, like
letting us know. Live from the delivery room.
Live from the delivery room. Oh man!
But for anybody who didn't tune in to Turnbuckle Throwbacks, I officially threw in the towel on the WWE until The Fiend is once again the Universal Champion. I will not give my eyes or my eyesight to the WWE current product. I'm like Bret Hart. I will not watch them in the continent of the United States. But if I go to Canada, I might watch them.
That wasn't loud enough, but okay.
That's right. Tony said it best. That's what I did. What Rocky should have did. And shout out to JBL for calling.
That one wasn't any good either.
for calling Brock Lesnar real live Ivan Drago.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That pretty much summed it up. But yes, we are no longer, I am no longer going to be...
On speaking terms with the WWE?
Pretty much. I've divorced myself from the current product. So you guys will have to fill me in on, you know...
The going-ons?
The goings-on, for the most part, because... Even Bray Wyatt, you know, couldn't hold down his frustration about what happened. Over there in Saudi Arabia. Macaulay Culkin. You know it's bad, but Macaulay. Home Alone's finest. Veteran of two Home Alone movies. And a WWE fan. Canceled his ticket. To WrestleMania. That's when you know it's bad. So, I'm on Team Macaulay. And, you know, I'm going to show up for WrestleMania weekend. I'm going to participate, you know. But, you know, my voice will be limited on the current stuff. Because of what they did to The Fiend. I'm not crying. If I'm crying, then Bray's crying. Because Bray said it. Did Bray or Bray, did he or did he not voice his opinion on Twitter?
I don't know.
Oh, you weren't watching that.
No, it's not that I wasn't watching it. It's just I'm out of the loop.
But if you did.
Listen,
Bray Wyatt.
I saw the pay per view. And I saw the smattering of things on the internet, but other than that, I was out of the loop this weekend for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that pay per view was so bad. The ending was so bad it took you out of the loop. We know it. Now, I imagine, and then I heard to the grapevine of what happened on Friday night. Which was even worse. I wouldn't say it worse. It just took it to a whole nother level. So they doing a rematch. This is what I heard. They're doing a rematch of WrestleMania 30.
Was it 30?
And I guess they're gonna let the Fiend get his win back or what? So they let an old 50-year-old man beat him. Something Seth Rollins couldn't do. Which now he's the Messiah. But the Messiah couldn't beat the Fiend. But an old goatee, gray goatee man.
With one move.
A hip toss. And Double A justifying this crowd.
So
Double A would have had 5 to 10 babies.
I did not.
TNA would have done this.
I did not justify it. You're wrong.
No, I'm not saying you just. Let's not say you justify it. Your understanding of it.
I understand
about it
because I knew. I don't get upset. I get upset, but
it's
I don't.
Not upset.
I get upset, but I'm not going to let it ruin my fandom is the wrong word, but it's not going. It's not going to ruin my. You know, listen. I have been
they
a fan.
Listen, they're taking advantage.
I have been a fan. I have been a fan. Tony C, I've been a fan. I've been a fan of pro wrestling almost 40 years.
Okay? As have I.
And I have seen a lot of bad
stuff. Name something as bad as this.
I grew up during the era of watching the Ding Dongs.
No, no, no. I'm talking about name a situation.
The finger poker drill.
No, hell no.
David Arquette winning the world title.
But that was the reason. They did that to promote a movie. What is the reason behind building the Fiend up to have him get beat by a 50-year-old man on the street?
Because I guess my assumption is they don't think that he can carry the main event.
No. Plus, no. No. That's not the reason.
I think some of it. Plus
no, there's no reason behind that part. But go ahead, continue.
As I said before, Roman Reigns takes the belt off the Fiend, puts heat on him. They don't want Roman Reigns to take the championship with heat on him.
I will buy that, but I won't buy that that Bray was not carrying his weight. That well, I will
I'm not
buy.
Saying that.
Well, you did just say that.
No, I said they might not think he can main event.
That's
you know Vince.
But just because you're the Universal Champion doesn't guarantee that you're going to main event WrestleMania.
Bro, we know that. I want you to name another spot where they built somebody up to be unbeatable and let somebody come off the street and beat them. You can't.
I cannot. You're wrong. You're right. I can't. I can't. But it's not that they pulled Goldberg out of obscurity, out of the crowd.
They might as well. Hell, he had been on the shelf since the last Super Showdown. And he's an old head. Okay, it'll be
different. It's not that I can justify it. But I can understand the point. Now listen, the thing that I don't agree with is all the news sites this past weekend saying that the rationale between Goldberg and Cena being on SmackDown this past Friday is the reason why, they put him on SmackDown on Friday in Boston to draw big numbers. That's not the reason. People tuned into SmackDown on Friday to see the fallout of Super Showdown.
But if TNA would have done this, we would have ran, laughed.
Of course we would have. Of course.
So that's
but you know
why
what it is?
I'm laughing at WWE. Because
you know what it is? I think the problem with here's This is the reality of the situation. When I started the show in 2007, exactly, and we fast forward to when the show went live in 2008, and I was able to have an ongoing live discussion with somebody on the air. Those discussions in those times was about a different wrestling world. In 2020. We already went through a transition period in wrestling where wrestling has been on the downslide for a good number of years. Because when I started the show, wrestling was consistently doing good in those times. Now, wrestling is still doing good business and is still doing good ratings. But the product that we see on a week-to-week basis just is not... You can't compare a 2010 Monday Night Raw to a 2020 Monday Night Raw. There's no comparison. And we were complaining about the Raws in 2010.
But see, you getting in the weeds with it.
I'm saying this is a trend... This is a trend that had been going on for the past couple of years now in WWE. That's why it does not surprise me that it happened.
A champion that you build up to be your number one guy at the time, Seth Rollins. That was the guy they chose to put on Brock Lesnar.
I've got issues. Okay. I've got issues across the board with WWE, AEW. I mean, it's not. This is not just. It's not just a WWE problem. It is a pro wrestling problem. Okay. WWE just happens to be the biggest company on the planet.
Okay, but Moxley beating Jericho makes more sense than Goldberg beating.
I agree, but I still don't necessarily agree with Moxley beating Chris Jericho. I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah, I think any of that had to do with the fact that they were over in Saudi Arabia and they thought that they wanted to see a title change.
Lee said, I said this on Turnbuckle Throwbacks because Lee sent a text message. I don't know if it was Thursday night or Friday morning. And he basically put it best that when they go to Saudi Arabia, they let the prince book the show. He picks the winners.
But the fact that Vince allows him to do that.
Because think about it.
He's taking old school wrestling fans like us for granted. If we start turning off the TV and watching something else, and not going to these shows and not showing up to WrestleMania, stuff will change. But as long as people spending their money and going to these events, he'll keep doing this quirky stuff.
The problem here's the situation. Vince needs to be pulled away. I said this on Friday. Until Vince secedes power, dies or whatever, this is how it's going to be. Because what I said on Friday was this. Vince has a complex that he does not want to allow Triple H to come and show him up. Because we all know that if Triple H takes over, at least on the creative end, okay, that he's going to show up Vince. Or Vince just relinquishes the creative aspect. I'm not going to even say Triple H. Just releases the creative aspect of his role in WWE, and the television product on all the television shows would change drastically. How is it, okay, that the four, actually no, of the five wrestling programs, WWE produces six wrestling shows a week, but I'm not counting WWE Main Event. I'm counting of the five weekly television shows of the five different rosters that WWE has. How is it that three of those shows, which are headed by Triple H, are night and day to the two shows that are headed by Vince McMahon?
What is the thing? If Vince gave up,
and anybody who watches WWE product prefers those three shows that Triple H runs.
But I think if Vince gave up creative control, what else would he have to do?
He would still run the business end of it. Because listen, there's many facets to the WWE at this point.
He can work on getting buildings and stuff like that.
Building. Not even that. Vince doesn't have to do that. Vince could still run the actual business. Vince could sit in the office and do the day-to-day business. Do the negotiating. Do this, do that. But the creative. No, I think the creative part of that. Vince, I don't know how WWE functions as a company in terms of the day-to-day business. None of us know how they operate. But we know one thing is that Vince is involved in everything, pretty much. If Vince would relinquish one role out of everything that he does, I guarantee you Vince would still remain a very busy person.
But this is my thing. If who in that company could say, dude, to beat The Fiend in Saudi Arabia, that's not a good idea.
Nobody. I'm going to tell you, nobody's going to say that because here's the thing, and we've got so many documented cases that nobody will speak up to Vince.
That's the issue right there.
They say, I think here at Super Showdown, Bray Wyatt should destroy Goldberg. I'll think about it.
I'll take it under advisement. Goes on the plane. He thinks about it. We get to the building. Vince, did you decide on a finish? Yeah, Goldberg over Bray in 2.5 minutes. Or whatever the time was of the match.
And there's nobody there.
And that's
say,
it.
Vince,
that's and then that person that person that gave the suggestion just goes, okay.
And see, that's why they're losing people like me. My brother, they lost my brother a long time ago. I try to hang in there with him. He can't stand WWE.
I think WWE's got the Vince is the issue. We know that. And as soon as Vince is out of the creative part, it's just the creative. If Vince would get rid of creative,
common sense, though,
yeah, but that's the problem. Vince has to approve of everything, and you're going to tell me that on a $20 million show, that Vince is not going to give the final okay?
But this will
never happen.
That mess that happens Thursday afternoon was like if somebody would have came in 1998, basically when Goldberg was at his peak,
and
a 50-year-old who I don't know who was 50 at that time, but they came in. If Bobby Eaton would have beat Goldberg in Huntsville, Alabama for the world title, it would have been something like that, basically. Like,
the point is, Tony,
what the hell, yo?
The point is that on the big shows, Vince has still got to give the okay. That's what it is. That's what it comes down to.
To beat the Fiend, though, the guy that they spent all that money, his entrance is epic. All the little firehouse, fun house stuff, all that is for nothing. Because he got to be about 50 old man.
Tony, see, that spear, I mean, it's the most devastating move in all wrestling.
Get the hell out of here with that.
And now you got two people that spear versus spear, and
this match needs to be all of 5 minutes.
It's gonna be like two cars crashing into each other head on.
Neither one of them can wrestle.
So this is how the match is gonna go. Goldberg gonna spear Roman. Roman gonna kick out. Roman gonna Superman punch him, spear him.
But the spear ain't even Goldberg finished.
Yeah, but the spear, it seems to always injures everybody he does it to.
But that's not his finish.
I mean, when he beat Brock, and he like speared him right away, it was like, oh my God, Brock's hurt. It's unbelievable. And he spears him again. And he can barely get people off with a jackhammer.
Because he's 50 years old.
And that's it. Ding, 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 ding.
But you know what?
Listen, come on now. Hogan never had a problem getting nobody up at 50.
Hogan didn't wrestle at 50.
He didn't? When did he stop wrestling?
Hogan stopped wrestling like 10 years ago when he was probably like 49 or right at 50.
I thought he stopped wrestling.
Hogan hasn't wrestled a match in probably around 10 years.
But I thought he had...
Somebody on Twitter or Facebook or whatever posted that 20 years ago, we were all complaining about Hulk Hogan being too old and being the world champion or whatever.
Hulk Hogan was not the world champion 20 years ago.
I'm giving an example. 20 years ago.
WCW.
2000, 1990, you enter year here. 20 to 25 years ago. That we were all complaining that Hogan was old and the world champion. Let me finish. That we were complaining that Hogan was old and all that stuff. Hogan looked old. That's a different story. But listen, hold it. Hogan looking old, that's aesthetics, and I'm not even concerned with the aesthetics of what I'm about to say.
Hell, I am.
But we complained, or, you know, the majority complained back then. But what a lot of people don't remember or don't want to bring up is that 20, 25 years ago when we were complaining that Hulk Hogan was too old to be doing this still and should not be the world champion, he should let the younger guys get their shot, Hogan was in his 40s at that time. So, you know, here we are, it's 2020, and like you said, a 50-year-old guy is the world champion. Brock is 40... Brock is in his 40s, but...
he don't look it.
You know what? After I watched that special today, Brock's age is starting to come out.
In his
but that's again, that's aesthetics we're talking. And the same with Goldberg. With Goldberg, I can overlook the aesthetics. I can overlook the visual appearance. If he could actually wrestle a good match. Because Ric Flair wrestled to almost 60 years old and wrestled the same quality match that he wrestled in 2008 when he wrestled that last match against Shawn Michaels as he did in 1988.
Yeah, there was plenty of wrestlers who wrestled in their 50s and close to 60.
So
what if Shawn Michaels is the at SummerSlam, he come out of retirement and win the world title? Nobody should have a problem with that. Triple H.
I would have a problem. But let me tell you something. I would have a problem with it.
He's younger than Goldberg.
He is. I would have a problem with it. But the difference, and I think the real problem everybody's having is there's a few things that's working against Goldberg here. But I think a lot of people are soured because there was no storyline, no build. This happened over the course of just 2 weeks. The match was short. Goldberg barely executed the jackhammer. Just the whole thing was just...
And he beat the best
no
thing
thought,
they had going.
No thought put into it. And this was the main event of a major pay-per-view for the company. That's why a lot of people are sour. But had there been a compelling storyline,
it still would have made sense.
Well, but Tony C, look at it this way. Take Goldberg out, replace with Shawn Michaels. You have a compelling storyline, and Shawn works a kick-ass match.
He still should beat the Fiend.
But what if he did?
I'd still be pissed off.
But would you be as pissed off?
Yep. Because the Fiend,
I don't think so,
was the hottest thing. If you gonna have somebody,
I don't think
the Fiend,
so. I honestly believe if I honestly believe Tony C.
That needs to be put over.
I honestly believe
that's what I'm talking about.
I firmly believe that if you put in a qualified person to have that match, that could work a good match. That it doesn't matter who they get in the ring with, you'll get a 5-star match out of them. That you would be as upset. I doubt that very much.
Hell yeah, I would.
I doubt
that. If that was the case, Seth Rollins should have beat him.
Yeah, but he's a current member of the roster. That was already done before. Let me give you a better one.
The person that should have did it.
Big E's time pushed
Big E to the moon.
But Big E's time
and
could be coming.
Him up
Big E's,
and let him be
but,
the one to beat.
But
the
Big E's time,
title.
Big E's time could be coming. I'll give you another one, another person that you pull Goldberg out and you replace it with this person. And I'm going to say somebody, and I know what your reaction is going to be, but I need you to think about it rationally before you overreact. I want you to think about who I'm going to put in there before you react. You take Goldberg out, and you replace it with Sting.
No, he don't need to beat the Fiend. You need somebody at this point. WWE, Brock's getting ready to leave shortly. You need to start putting people in position to make new people.
We keep assuming Brock's about to leave. I don't think he's going to lose a WrestleMania.
Yeah, Brock is. All indications are pointing that Brock is going to lose at WrestleMania.
Yeah. So
and we thought that he passed, and then he didn't.
No, Brock has lost at WrestleMania though.
Exactly.
He has lost. It's not like Brock is.
Oh, you talking about him leaving?
No, he was supposed to lose to Roman Reigns the second time at WrestleMania, and he didn't.
Because Vince, that was the last minute call.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm saying I don't think it's a guarantee Drew McIntyre is going to win.
Yeah, but you know what? We go through this every single year with Brock, so.
If you don't, he don't.
Yeah, and from what I understand, Heyman is really high on Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
So and that Drew McIntyre is the anointed next big star in WWE. So.
But my whole thing goes back to. At this point, it's people who need that rub. If they were to build Big E up, spend the last, once Brock beat Kofi, Brock beats Kofi. I know Big E, when he was on the shelf or whatever at that time, right? Or was he healthy?
Who, Kofi?
Big E.
Big E was healthy.
Okay, so Brock beats Kofi. Then they spend that time. This is a creative. This is what they don't have in WWE. They build that up, go to the Rumble. Big E has a good showing at the Rumble. The Fiend, meanwhile, he's doing his thing with, what's the dude? Seth Rollins. He get the title. But meanwhile, Big E's building himself up. Bam, get the Saudi. Now, if Big E is in that spot, and he beats the Fiend. Now you just made Big E. Now we got a reason to care about Big. Another reason to care about Big E. And the Fiend don't look as bad because Big E's been whooping ass since October.
You know what?
Whose ass has Goldberg whooped since October?
I think the issue here is that
nobody.
I think the problem is that WWE just decided, you know what? Let's just do this for WrestleMania. And we could always turn around and give the title back to Bray Wyatt.
They do it because we allowed them to do it as fans.
I know, but we can't control it. I mean, Tony C.
Yes, you can. Listen, if people stop showing up to these...
Tony C., that nobody goes to house shows anymore. That's in all of wrestling. That's not just WWE.
I give you the house show. But if that building in Boston was half empty... Or three quarters empty, or even a fourth empty. They would have. That's something right there. That's showing them. Okay,
it's never gonna happen,
bro.
It'll never happen.
And that's
why never happen.
You can't never say never. One day the light will click on people. You know what I'm saying,
Tony? See, this is not
like you say. Vince
this
might
is
die.
Not. This is when the day Vince dies. That's a different story. But this isn't 1997 when they were on the verge of bankruptcy.
I understand that, but still, if somebody's taking your viewership and your commitment or whatever in any relationship for granted, that's when you got to show them, bro. I have an alternative. You know what I'm saying?
You know what the problem
or
is?
Or I'll just do something else.
You know what the problem is?
And that was a slap in the face on Thursday, point blank. Period. Even the man himself said it. Like, yo. He even thought about it. He was like, it made no sense.
The problem is... The problem is that Raw, as bad as Raw is, and as bad as SmackDown is, those shows still do huge numbers for the networks. So the networks are not going to intervene in terms of the product and the creative. It's not like how, AOL Time Warner wanted to interject stuff into the creative without knowing what wrestling is about. If AOL Time Warner never got involved with WCW, I don't know. WCW probably would still be around today, but the networks, it seems that USA and Fox, as long as they're getting ratings, they don't give a damn what the television show is. You could put a potted plant in the center of the ring for 2 hours on Friday night, and it's still going to do good numbers for Fox on Friday. Yeah. Better than whatever they had on Fridays before SmackDown went to Fox.
Yeah, I buy that because, you know, it's a Friday night for one, so anything that'll bring up your ratings a couple of points is better than nothing.
But I hear that. But at the same time, somebody got to be for the viewer and be like, bruh, this ain't cutting it no more. Decision like that ain't cutting it.
But the, you know what? That's what? All fine and well, but with so many options out there now.
That's my point.
Now, Tony, see, you're saying that. But when I tuned in Friday, the crowd was cheering Goldberg when he walked out. There was some boos, too. But no. There was a lot of people actually cheering him.
Because you know what? You know what? You know what situation we're in now in 2020? We are not casual viewers. We are the long-term vested viewers.
I ain't invested.
You are. Whether you are right now or not, you are a long-term vested viewer of the WWE television product.
I ain't no more.
But wait a minute. Let me finish.
It ain't emotional. I'm rational. If I don't like something, I don't watch it.
You're always done and ready to quit.
No, that's not true. That I will defend Tony C on. He doesn't always give up. The point is that we are a minority in the wrestling world. We are a long-term viewer in a wrestling universe that has, you know, the wrestling world is segmented. Let's say there's five people watching wrestling throughout the world. You've got two people watching WWE, and then the other three people are scattered around the other things. You know, whether it's Ring of Honor, New Japan, AEW, whatever. They're watching everything else. The two people that are watching WWE, one of those two people is us, the long-term vested viewer. Okay? The other viewer, okay, are the kids and this and that. As long as WWE has that one viewer, it doesn't matter. Why? That one viewer equates the other four. You got one that's a main longtime fan. Then you got three that are spread out over the rest of the wrestling industry. It's still greater than the total sum. So WWE, as long as they have that kid viewership, that young viewership, that whatever viewership, WWE is not going to change in the sense of the ratings would be affected, because there's not that many people in terms of the wrestling world. You've got five pieces, okay? Only 40% of the 100% is watching WWE. The other 60% is off somewhere else. That 40% ain't going to go anywhere. And that's the reality of it. WWE is trying to get the entire wrestling world to watch their product. They're not fighting for the 40% that are currently watching. They're trying to see if they can get the attention of the other 60%. It's not working. It's not working. But that 40% ain't going anywhere.
I hear all that. But at the same time,
you guys, take it over for 1 minute. Go ahead. Continue the discussion.
At the same time, when they make a bad, like that year when they had Brock fighting, when Brock fought, what's his name? Roman. If that wouldn't, if they would have let Roman go, I would have been done then. Because that made no sense. Back in the day, when we was coming up, you know, your main event scene made sense. Now it's like, whatever. We could just do whatever. Y'all still gonna watch. And I'm saying, no, hell. That's my whole thing. So, I mean, more power to y'all. You know, y'all want to continue, you know, watching. But until, you know, I see improvement, you know, or I hear about improvement.
So, what other wrestling shows you watch?
I mean, I might peep at AEW. I found Ring of Honor on Sunshine.
You feel here. They're doing better shows?
When it comes to the main event scene, yeah. Because, bro, where we come from and coming up, your main event scene was a thing that, you know, powered the company for the most part. You know, to draw eyes to the television. You know, it was the mid card, then, you know, the main event scene.
That Goldberg draws eyes.
But to a fan like myself or, you know, Double A's, Goldberg ain't drawing us in there. The Goldberg make you turn the TV. You know what I'm saying? Right now, that's what they want. So I ain't mad at that. That's not entertain. Goldberg is not entertaining. You know, there's no, they can get anybody out the street can do that.
I don't know why they put him in the Hall of Fame if he's going to just keep coming back for Super Showdowns. And
That's another thing too. And like I said, I'll say it Friday night. If they turn around, they put the title on Goldberg, okay. So, Undertaker beat him. So, why won't you put the title? What's stopping you from putting the title on Undertaker? If I was Taker, I'd be like, well, hell, you give me a run. You giving it to him? I mean, if you just playing hot potato, I would tip. You get what I'm saying? But I guess what they thinking is nobody remember that Undertaker put him back.
Undertaker had a match without even having a match.
That's nothing.
He did a choke slam and that was
unannounced. You know what I'm saying?
This is what, the second time now they done had somebody
unadvertised
in a tournament that wasn't even involved in the match from the beginning.
But you see, the trophy don't mean nothing. Undertaker just walked right past.
I get that. It's like, look, that first tournament they had didn't mean anything.
I can't even remember who the hell was in there.
And when
all that best in the world, yeah.
Yes. And then this was supposed to have been some kind of best in the world type of. And it's like they put on these that type of match I don't think they're ever gonna get the greatest Royal Rumble anymore because nobody wants to go over there.
So, man, back in the day, the main event scene used to make sense and it used to be tell a story and it could be believable. Now they're just doing whatever the hell they want.
You know what? They should book the Saudi Arabian shows as if it's like an Elseworld. Like in comic books, you have your regular storylines when it comes to the heroes. But ever so often, there's a one-off storyline where the characters are changed a bit, but it doesn't affect the regular.
It's Bizarro Land, basically. Bizarro World. Regular
monthly book, you know, like Superman grows up in Russia as opposed to in Kansas. And they should treat those shows like that. You go there, you put it on a show, and it has nothing to do with any of the storylines going on back here in the United States.
Now, if that would have happened, let me say this. If that match would have happened, it would have been non-title, and that would have happened, I might have been able to stomach a little bit more if it had just been non-title. And they'd be like, well, or somebody came out and helped Goldberg beat the Fiend on that title. Okay, I got you. You know, it was a quirky win. But the win clean and for the title.
And then they turn around and give Roman the title shot with no real build up to that. It's like, oh, I'm going to fight.
Why? And like you said, sir,
listen, they changed their plans because they're supposed to have an Elimination Chamber match in order to get a number one contender.
And now they just gave it to him.
So now all those guys that was get a payday, Baron Corbin, all them, they're out of luck.
And like you said, sir, now that I think that's how they used to do it sometime back in the day. They'll have a house show or something with nothing to do with the storyline. And they'll just have matches. Non-title. Hey, who the hell said it got to be title matches over there in Saudi? You already got paid. Just have the champions come over there, fight, and leave.
Or have a Saudi Arabia title.
Exactly. Do something like that. Something that's, like you said, separate.
Listen, we get a match with Mansoor. Like, do you ever see him wrestling any other time?
He wrestles on NXT once in a while. But he gets huge entrance. He gets the big interview afterwards.
He's undefeated in Saudi.
Yeah, he's undefeated in Saudi Arabia.
I get that part.
He won a battle royal.
In Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, he won the battle royal. He beat Cesaro the last time. This time he beat who did he beat? Somebody that was technically sound.
I guess one day.
When? The other day?
Yeah.
I guess
he beat Dolph Ziggler.
Get a title shot over in Saudi Arabia.
He beat Dolph Ziggler.
Yes, he did. You're right. He beat Dolph Ziggler.
So when's he getting his title shot over there?
That'll be next.
Probably next time they go.
He'll beat Brock Lesnar.
Oh man, but Surf, I think you hit it right on the head, man. Saudi need to be his own thing. Them Saudi shows.
Give them their own championship belt. It's an Elseworlds storyline. None of the matches affect what's going on over here.
Give them their own champion. That way, when they go, give them their own champion. That way, when they go over there, the WWE title and the Universe title can be non-title matches. And then you just defend the Saudi title over there. Bam.
Well, let's talk.
What difference? That thing that the Undertaker won.
He walk right past?
Because he's not going to be on TV to talk about it. And they're not going to bring it up. And it's not sort of leading to a storyline. I mean, other than, he's going to fight AJ Styles. But it's right now. It's gonna be a one-sided storyline.
They're not fighting for the trophy.
Is antagonizing the Undertaker.
The trophy is not on the line at Mania.
No.
Oh, damn. At least when the King of Cable was on, fought for the ring was on the line.
They give a loss to Aleister Black, so they can push this storyline with AJ Styles. I mean, Aleister Black beat Rowan twice. And now they want to give him a loss?
AJ Styles is different, though. He's a different breed. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying about because of the feud with The Undertaker.
Losing to AJ Styles is one thing. But losing it so he can push The Undertaker is another thing.
Because The Undertaker, he had that stage where he got to get put over now.
Well, anyways.
Those two, that could have been a build-up. You got Aleister Black and AJ Styles. And, you figure they're going to put on a great match together. But instead, you get all this other stuff with the OC coming in and him fighting off two other guys and then taking a 10-second loss to AJ Styles.
Well, let's go over some other stuff here, because obviously the Saudi thing has left a bad taste in everybody's mouth, but there's other things that left bad taste in people's mouth. Matt Hardy, his contract expired with WWE and is AEW bound, obviously. Of course, AEW will probably take him and push him to the moon, something that he doesn't need, but whatever. You know, this
how long
is,
before he the world champion?
Yeah, bro. 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
By, you know, by the end of the year, he'll be the world champion.
Mark my words, the same trend happened in TNA. People didn't listen to me.
You say by the summertime, AA, or by the end of the year?
I'd say by the summertime. He'll be in world title contention.
But he'll be the actual champion by what, the fall?
Nah, before the close of the year.
Well, listen, if they do him right, and he's interesting with his going back to his broken gimmick as the Exalted Dark One or whatever, and maybe I might not have a problem putting a belt on him, but you got to give us they've been building this up. He's coming.
Now, Cody Rhodes and his damn neck tattoo.
What's up with that?
He's got some issues. Cody's got some issues, I think. And
he shouldn't have any.
And I think he's trying to stand out. And the issue I have with Cody is Cody loses all the time.
He's trying to do it like his father.
I guess
you're not Dusty, Cody. But yet he's the number one guy in the company, just like his old man. His old man was on the short end of the stick most of the time, but was the number one man in the company.
Yeah, but he was on the short end of the stick to the Horseman. He wasn't just losing to anybody that came along.
I think though Cody should have already, you know, because here's what I have problems with AEW, okay, with their booking. I'm not going to go into everything that's been going on in AEW, but I'm going to specifically address Cody versus MJF. Since this feud has started, Cody has just been relentlessly getting beaten by MJF. Whether it was the lashes, the cage match a couple weeks ago in Atlanta, and now at the pay-per-view on Saturday, Maxwell Jacob Friedman still is victorious. And Cody is the proverbial loser. And has been the loser the entire length of the feud. At what point is Cody going to win? What is it going to take now for Cody to come out on top against MJF? An act of God. It's at this point.
A hell in the cell, I guess.
I guess because their next pay per view, appropriately titled "Blood and Guts," comes to you live from Newark, New Jersey.
Oh God!
And the Prudential Center takes place March 25th. That's the week before WrestleMania.
March 25th.
That's a Saturday.
No, it's not. March. My birthday is on a Thursday. So it's got to be the 28th.
Oh, no, excuse me. It is going to be a Wednesday.
So it's the day before my birthday.
No, it's 25th. It's not a pay-per-view. Excuse me.
The first was on
the
Sunday.
It's a special edition of AEW Dynamite. Excuse me, it's not a pay-per-view. Entitled Blood and Guts. And it'll feature a War Games style match.
So they're doing it before. Well,
what is this?
WWE face.
Yeah, but for what's the purpose here?
Because he wants to do it because his father came up with it.
And then I got to talk about Tony Khan. Okay, or Tony Khan. Let me. Here is this is Tony Khan basically said during a recent podcast. Tony Khan said that he was using WCW as an example of what not to do in AEW.
Oh yeah, I heard about this, and Bischoff got mad.
And Bischoff responded, and Bischoff has every right in the world to respond.
But Dave, I didn't hear what Bischoff said, but I heard.
Well, let's play the audio, shall we? Let's see if we can play. Can we play? Oh, no, this is 38 minutes. I'm not going to play that. But I'm going to read you the excerpt from the show. That's an interesting thing for Mr. Khan to say, Bischoff said. He's been in the professional wrestling business for what? What time is it? It's about a cup of coffee, I think. I think his coffee could still be warm at this point. So far he's spent, from what I've heard, I don't know if it's accurate or not. I want to make sure I say that. Somewhere between $30 and $50 million to prove that he can be competitive with WWE's developmental territory. Call me in a couple of years and tell me that you've done what you've done that's really unique, Bischoff said. Call me in a couple of years and let me know how you've changed the industry. Call me in a couple of years when your show is one of the top, if not the top original piece of programming on the TNT network. Call me in a couple of years when you're number two, number three, number four in all of cable programming for the night and prime time. And then let's talk about it. But until then, I'll just have another cup of coffee and see what happens. Bischoff is 100% right. Because I don't care whether you agree with WCW's promotional tactics and how they would give the results away of Raw and this and that. I don't care. You can't take away Eric's accomplishments of running WCW. You can't. Eric took a company that was hemorrhaging money in 1993, turned it around, and by 1995 brought that company out of the red and into the black. And for the next 3 or 4 years, WCW was nothing but profitable. So this is from a guy that was not a wrestler. He got into the wrestling business because he worked in sales, and he happened to be a fan of the AWA in Minnesota. But he never had aspirations of being a wrestling announcer, let alone running a wrestling promotion. Just things happened to work out that way. And he made it work. But for Tony Khan to go and say, these are the things that we're going to use WCW as an example of what not to do. How does he know what was going on in WCW unless he was there? There is one person that is on the current active AEW roster, actually two, that wrestled in WCW. And then there's a handful of other employees that worked in WCW. But unless you sat down and had a group discussion and heard about the 11 years of WCW's existence, and you fully absorbed all the positives that WCW brought, and you can honestly tell me that there were more negatives than positives in WCW, then we can have a discussion about what not to do. But WCW was to this very day, there is a lot of wrestling fans that will tell you that the greatest wrestling at one time was in WCW. And that the WWF, the World Wrestling Federation, was never great wrestling, but that it was more entertainment over anything. And they like the WWF for the entertainment. But when it comes to the wrestling, there was no promotion like WCW. Yeah, you could. One could be said for ECW. There could be a debate said for ECW, and I'm not. So I won't leave ECW out of this discussion. But WCW was as horrible as a promotion as everybody makes it out to be, it would not have lasted as long as it did. And if they were not owned by a promotion that didn't want anything to do with the wrestling business, WCW would still be around today. These are all facts. Because when WCW went out of business in 2001, WCW was still making money. So, I take, and then Dave Meltzer has the gall, the temerity to say, this is why Dave Meltzer should be eliminated from the wrestling world. Dave Meltzer said that Eric failed, end of story. If or when AEW fails, then Eric can talk. Until then, he's the model they're using to learn what not to do. Eric didn't fail.
You could say he failed in TNA, but I wouldn't say he failed in WCW.
He did not. And let's make something very clear. Eric got fired from WCW. Because AOL wanted to take control of the company.
Because it's getting ready to get rid of the wrestler. Why would you keep a wrestling guy around when you're getting ready to get rid of a wrestler? They didn't want to make it good.
So, it's ridiculous. I'm sure if Eric would have never been fired from WCW, WCW would have continued to be very prosperous even today. I don't know if Eric would still be running WCW, but WCW still would be prosperous.
That AT&T, they just ruined everything. I mean,
AT&T?
Yes.
I didn't know they bought WCW.
Where do you get AT&T from, sir?
It was AOL that bought it, but now they own Time Warner, right?
No, Time AT&T Warner bought WCW, and AOL bought Time Warner.
No, I'm saying AT&T owns Time Warner now.
No.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Who owns them then?
Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers is a division of Time
but
Warner.
But it's still. They're the parent company, but AT&T is its own autonomous entity. They are not affiliated.
They try to combine them, I know.
They're trying
to merge them together.
The deal did not go through. They could have been merging their cable divisions at one time. But the actual company AT&T, the American Telephone and Telegraph Company, it did not merge. Has nothing to do with merging with Time with Warner Media. They probably were their cable division. Maybe was selling into Time Warner.
Wow,
that's what it was.
They're talking about they don't see the value of keeping DC Comics around.
Well, sell it to Marvel.
That's a disaster.
That's another discussion for another show. So on and so on.
It seems like it's
just parallels. That's all.
Another interesting thing that Tony C brought up today when we're talking about acquisitions.
Oh hell! I knew you couldn't wait.
Tony C brought up the fact that the UFC is running out of money. You know, Vince McMahon has a big checkbook now.
Oh hell! Here it comes.
I'm going to tell you.
They're going to get his wish.
The wrestling world, I think
Are they overpaying the fighters?
They're overpaying
the fighters.
They
don't have enough money. They're overpaying them now. They're running out of money.
Yeah.
So I guess Dana got to get some more investors.
Because how much money does the UFC possibly make on a fight?
After they pay for the
building They pay the fighters because, let's say Brock Lesnar. Let's say Brock Lesnar. Let's say Brock Lesnar does a fight. How much does Brock get paid to do a fight in the UFC? $10, $15, $20 million? Maybe.
Yeah.
The average fighter probably gets maybe between 5 and 10 per fight. If they're paying,
that's still a lot compared to boxing.
But boxing has the money to justify it.
Exactly. Boxing got old money still in it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. Nobody say they got.
Who's the draw right now on that?
Conor McGregor, I guess.
Conor McGregor.
He's the highest paid fighter.
So it's costing too much to keep him. Because he got that payday for fighting Floyd. And
yeah, but he got that through boxing. He got that through boxing.
Right, but I'm saying, yeah. Once you get a big payday, you can't go back to small potatoes.
Okay, well, then don't. Then it's either.
He just did.
Then if you don't want it, you could take your talents and go elsewhere.
So it just tickled Double A pink the fact that Dana running out of money.
He's running out of money, and the day's going to come where Vince will take over. It'll be a division of WWE, and Dana's pencil will turn into a pen.
Ultimate Fighting Entertainment. That's what's going to
happen. Yeah.
The UFE.
Come on, Vince got enough things. Wrestling, football. And you going to do it? MMA too?
It ain't going to be MMA no more. It's going to be the Ultimate Fighting Entertainment.
You know, could you, you know. And
this shit finna be predetermined.
MMA?
Yup. Mixed Martial Entertainment.
And welcome to UFC 251. Hi, everyone, at ringside. I'm Michael Cole, alongside Joe Rogan, and I don't know who else does the commentary in UFC.
No, not UFC, UFE.
UFE.
Can you imagine Vince selling to these
Welcome to UFC, UFE Fight a Mania 4.
Oh, you ain't going to have to do that.
Live from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Well, they already go to far-flung places in the world.
They're going to have UFC fights and WWE matches on pay-per-view. So you're going to buy UFC.
And those matches we talked about, the following contest is a ladder match for the UFC Heavyweight Championship.
So, Daniel
Cormier and Roman Reigns.
So a wrestling match takes place, and then an octagon get lowered down for the next match.
Exactly.
Pretty much. And now it's all scripted now. Because fighters are making more money.
All right, and as you can see, the octagon is lowering down around the ring.
It's lower.
And Corey... This match, UFC rules, but it's still inside an octagon cage, but it's also a TLC match.
I'm going to be done when we see the first ever UFC elimination
match. Exactly. Unbelievable.
It's coming. I was in denial about it. Double A, you know, we would joke around, you know, about this thing possibly happening. Since they're running out of money.
Why not? Hey. And they're in bed with Disney. WWE is trying to get in bed with Disney. It makes sense.
They are in bed with ESPN.
You can't get in bed with Disney unless you're getting up all that ass.
And while we're on the subject of getting in bed with Disney, we didn't talk about Bob Iger abruptly stepping down as the CEO of Disney.
What, he touched somebody inappropriately?
No, he just stepped down.
He's still with the company.
He's still with the company, but he doesn't run the company anymore.
Probably got tired of that mouse call.
But yeah, there's a lot of things went on in pop culture this week. Of course, the James Lipton, not the heir apparent to the Lipton iced tea fortune, James Lipton, the guy who was on Inside the Actor's Studio. passed away this past week.
I know this don't mean much to you, but just like a day or two before the announcement of Bob Iger, people was flipping out over DC Comics editor Dan DiDio being fired out of nowhere. So,
when the stock market took another hit today.
Yeah,
speaking of coronavirus.
With the damn coronavirus. And don't think that the coronavirus has not affected the WWE, because they had a meeting at Raw to talk about the coronavirus. And here's the thing, and here's what's going on. And let me, because it is, and Phil, if you're still listening, listen up. WWE had their meeting regarding the coronavirus last night. Speculation is already running rampant that WWE is going to take actions at WrestleMania to hopefully help the public stay clean, stay healthy.
They already had some cases down there in Tampa.
And they had two cases in that area, one in Hillsborough County, which is Tampa, and one in Manatee County, which is outside of Sarasota in Bradenton. So yeah.
You know it's bad when the NCAA talk about playing games in front of empty arenas.
That's funny. Like, why not have WrestleMania inside an empty Raymond James Stadium?
Hey. And then you got an idiot in his crew. They don't know what the hell they doing. By the time we look up, it'll be looking like Outbreak the Movie around here.
Man, oh man. So, yeah.
This thing is...
They're going to have everybody entering the stadium in
Hazmat contamination
outfits.
Hazmat suits.
How much do a hazmat suit? How much is a hazmat
suit? I'm sure they cost a fortune now.
Yeah, that's true. Going up like Kobe Bryant sneakers. Supply and demand, I guess.
Uh-huh. I mean, you can't find hand sanitizer on the shelves.
Well, I heard they say use rubbing alcohol.
Wash your damn hands, people.
It's a shame. We got to tell people to be cleanly. It's sanitary.
Soap and water.
That's all it takes. But don't be cheap on the soap, though.
Everybody going Lysol crazy, too.
We'll know it's bad when they start shutting down schools and stuff in the States.
I think they shut down two schools in New York already.
Yeah, but why are y'all worried? Trump said, you know, come April, it'll just go away.
When the weather changed.
When it gets hot. You know? Now, he's kind of forgetting that it is hot in parts of the world now.
It don't matter. I was done with him yesterday when he said he know the flu kill people. I'm done with you. I'm done. They should have, like, the government should have, like, fail-safe set up. I mean, they do, but it shouldn't be a partisan thing. Like, if the president start talking like an old drunk or something, they should be able to be like, yo, you gotta go, dude. Cause you... We in a crisis right now. You ain't talking like somebody drunk uncle. We can't have this, yo. And this ain't a hurricane, even though a tornado did just hit Nashville. Thoughts are with the people of Nashville.
But they still went out to vote.
So, you know, they try. That's when you know it's bad. If I was him and I see all these lines and stuff right about these people voting, I'd be kind of like, yeah, I might need to be thinking about doing something else. People out in a hurricane after a tornado hit the town, and they still voted, yo. Oh, my Lord. November might be something. Do you think he'll quit before November?
I don't think so at this point. At this
if
point,
somebody give him the report, be like, yo, it ain't going to be good. You might want to.
I doubt it.
Slide out the back door. Slide out the back door, yo. They say these people are turning out. But I said all that to say, a hurricane, yes, but this is a freaking virus, yo. And this dude is, like Surface said, talking about it's going away when they get hot. Motherfucker, we may not even be here when it get hot. People don't stop going to work.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the toll? It was a lady in the toll plaza got fired because she didn't come to work because of a scare. I was like, damn, that's some litigation right there for that ass. Nah, that's how I be looking at stuff now, though. Like, what I think once you go through litigation, look through everything in litigation eyes, like, oh, man, somebody else got fired from a hospital because they got on the internet and told about they weren't prepared for the virus or something. I was like, damn, she going to own that nursing home. I think that's what I'm going to be in my next life. I'm going to be like Paul Heyman, be a lawyer.
Let me see here. I guess that's it. In terms of wrestling news.
Wait, we forgot about the reveal of what's in the cage.
That stupid tarantula.
Wow.
All this time.
It was a banner week for the WWE, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they brought it home last night. They did bring it home last night because the closing of Monday Night Raw was very good.
Let me guess. Randy Orton did something.
Yes. But it wasn't so much what he did. It was the promo. The promo he did was excellent last night. Let me cue it up. I'm going to cue it up so that you could hear it. Because he said stuff right last night that were...
from the heart.
Yeah, and they were...
So you shot,
they were
you shot him in?
Oh, my God, yeah. So here we go. Let's take it back to Raw from last night.
Now, Beth, I owe you...
But to bring you up to speed, Beth Phoenix came out to call out Randy Orton and give an update on Edge, basically.
What she never got a chance to do.
Beth, I owe you an explanation. Edge and I were battling all over the world in main events of pay-per-views for the Intercontinental Championship, and we were stealing the show every damn night. And then a few years after that, Edge and I started our Rated RKO, and you know what we did? We became tag team champion. And just when things couldn't get any better, just when we were flying high can be, I got a little too close to the sun. I flew a little too high myself. I hit a brick wall. I hit a rough patch, to say the least of it. And I made some very poor life choices. And I dug a hole so deep, Beth, that I should have been buried in it. But you know why I wasn't? Because Edge reached down, grabbed me by the hand, and pulled me up out of that hole. He saved my life. He made me realize that there's more to life. There's love, there's children, there's having a family, starting a family. I was able to go to volleyball games, baseball games, go to my son's play, help them with their homework, teach them how to be men, teach my daughters how a man should treat a woman. And I was able to do that because your husband, Edge, saved my life. I realized in this very ring that Edge thought that he was back for good. Edge thought that he was going to start competing on a regular basis. And I knew better. I knew that someone like me was going to make a name for themselves and put your husband in a wheelchair or possibly worse. And I wanted you to have a husband. I wanted your two little daughters, Lyric and Ruby, to have their father. How are your daughters, by the way? Thanks to me, Edge is going to be able to be their father, be your husband. He's going to be able to go on hikes, ride bikes, take them to volleyball practice, softball practice. He's going to be able to be there for them because of me. And I did it because I love Edge, I love you, and I love your two little girls. Everybody thinks it was my fault, but you know deep down in your heart, you know with every shred of your being that it's not my fault, is it, Beth? It's your fault. You are an enabler. You enabled Edge. If he was a drug addict, you wouldn't supply him with drugs. If he was an alcoholic, you wouldn't mix him a drink and put one in his hand every night. Edge is a junkie. Edge is a junkie for the roar of the crowd. And you did nothing, nothing to stop it. You did nothing to help him. So I had to step in because I love him like a brother. And I had to do what I had to do to make sure that he could go on and be your husband. Be a father to Lyric and Ruby. Truth hurts, don't it?
And that was the end of the promo. Phoenix then slaps Orton, and Orton eventually drops her with an RKO. So, it was a very good, promo, and that was only a little bit of the entire promo. But it was very good.
It was very Orton good. Always mess with somebody's wife, yo. Mm-hmm. No, see his wife on TV.
Never. So now, but he talked about his kids. Out? You know?
We're going to get Christian come out now?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's the only sound thing to do. Edge probably won't show up to what probably the go-home show? Show before that? Maybe.
Maybe.
I heard Austin's supposed to be at a Raw coming up, ain't he?
It's possible. Speaking of Stone Cold, the newest Stone Cold sessions with the Big Show is up on the WWE Network. It was pretty good. And I'm looking forward to watching this new Big Show show that's coming out on Netflix.
What show he got coming out?
He's got a show where he stars himself. It's a situation comedy that he stars himself as a fictional. It's the Big Show. He's the Big Show. But he lives with his TV family, and they deal with their everyday lives. And it has guest stars, you know, Mick Foley, Mark Henry. A lot of old wrestlers are guest stars on the show. So you'll see that show drop sometime prior to WrestleMania.
How come they never came back with the wrestling house thing?
Maybe they couldn't find enough people to do it. I don't know.
And that's another thing. My damn Camp WWE, that was a good show, yo.
But you know what? We waited a long time in between seasons.
Well, you know, animation. You can't just,
yeah.
I mean, unless you're doing South Park, you can't keep that out overnight.
We need to come back, because it was fun as hell. That was entertaining stuff. That damn Stone, that little Stone Cold Stone Show.
No, my favorite, I think, was always Sergeant Slaughter.
Who?
Sergeant Slaughter. I think he's my favorite.
Oh yeah, he used to steal the show too.
And Vince would steal the show from time to time.
You know, Sergeant Slaughter, he used to be in a cartoon.
Yep, because he was on G.I. Joe, right?
No, yeah, Real American Hero.
Austin! The episode where he locked him in the porter potty.
Oh, yeah. And that damn Ric Flair running around naked under that tail rope. Woo! The Ultimate Warrior showed up.
Yeah. Quadruple H goes to McMahon for lunch.
Quadruple H, yeah. That show has a memorable moment.
Steak? Yeah. Which lab was it grown in?
Which lab?
The one in Oslo? It's gotta be Oslo. I'd bet anything it's Oslo. It's Oslo, right?
Oh,
it doesn't matter. I don't eat meat anyway. I'm on a strict goji berry diet.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Triple H, I watched you eat ground beef in your cereal this morning.
Yeah, that was this morning, Stephanie.
What's that?
That's just the Royal Rumble clock. Daddy likes to make a big entrance for guests. Sorry. Do you mind counting him down?
Five, four, three, two, one.
It's me, Vince McMahon.
That damn slide.
Damn it. And that's when I learned that Hamburger Helper Hand wasn't actually alive. It's just a puppet they used in the commercial. Right? Stephanie, you told me it wasn't real. That's what you said.
Yes, Daddy, it's not real.
Okay.
That there gold dust as his assistant.
Uh-huh.
Damn, man. There, little Undertaker, little R-Truth. That concept of that show is fun as hell.
Yeah, it is.
You got
us only shits in the.
Oh my god. Here we go.
Well, he'll never find his things in here. I know for a fact Austin only shits in the woods.
I'm coming home, warrior. I'm coming home.
Austin! Austin! Austin!
Hey, what do you know? A quarter.
I can't.
Okay. Oh, man, yeah. So let me play a little bit. Let me play the intro to the Ruthless Aggression episode featuring Brock Lesnar. Because it's very good. Because it's just Paul Heyman talking.
I think people need to understand that Brock Lesnar was only here for 2 years. Brock Lesnar started the day after WrestleMania 2002... and finished at WrestleMania 2004. Brock Lesnar was here for 24 months. That's it. His first run was that fast. His contributions were enormous.
Only once in a lifetime can you expect to see an athlete the caliber of Brock Lesnar.
The number of moments that Brock Lesnar offered in those 2 years, unheard of. But it was only 2 years.
And that's it.
I was thinking about something today. It's only two guys I know in WWE history that have been like the WWE champion and never had the mid-card title. Well, three, actually.
There's been a couple.
It's about three. Hogan, Taker, and Brock.
Let me think. I'm sure there's more.
Who else?
Has never held the mid-card title?
Yep. Especially here in the recent year.
Goldberg?
Goldberg was U.S. champion.
In WCW, but not in WWE.
He still is a mid-card champion.
The Fiend.
Bray Wyatt. Well, he had just started out, but I ain't even.
He didn't hold any other titles, except the tag team titles.
But I can still see them putting a U.S. title on him or something. But as of now, yeah, you can throw the Fiend in them now. I guess I was saying longevity-wise. Been up for a minute.
Let's let's see. Let me pull up my list of WWE champions. That never held the mid-card title. Let's see what we got here.
It ain't that many.
Jinder Mahal. No, he was U.S. champion. I take that back. Yeah.
Sheamus was U.S. champion. U.S.
champion, and I believe also Intercontinental champion.
Yep.
Well, John Cena's never won the Intercontinental title.
He's been the U.S. champion, though.
He's been the U.S. champion, I believe, 5 times.
Yep. Rock was the IC champion.
Yeah. Batista.
I forgot about his ass. He's number 4.
Going through the list here.
You put Vince on that list because he's WWE champion.
You can put Vince on there.
So what? That's 5 people.
5 people. I mean, if we start going way back in time, you know, Mankind.
Mankind ain't never had a big card title.
Never was
the hardcore title, right?
The hardcore, but that's not considered. I don't know. That one I have to process.
Well, that's true, because if Mankind, you gotta take Taker off the list.
Yeah.
So Taker was the hardcore champion.
Psycho Sid.
Sid never had him.
No.
Okay, so you take Taker and Mankind off the list. The list is the only title they ever held. Was the world title.
Well, then you have to take Hogan off because Hogan was the tag team champions.
Singles wise.
Okay.
Singles wise.
Yokozuna.
Yoko. So we had what, 5? You got Hogan. You got Hogan, Brock, Batista, Yoko.
Sid,
5.
Bob Backlund.
Backlund was never mid-card champion. Okay. 6.
I'm going through the list here. Sergeant Slaughter.
Go ahead.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Slaughter makes 7. I forgot about him.
Ted DiBiase.
Wait, Backlund never had any kind of title back in the day?
Never.
DiBiase bought the title, but okay.
So he went straight to the world title.
He went straight to the world title.
DiBiase made 8, even though he bought it.
The Iron Sheik.
Sheiky, baby.
Andre the Giant.
But DiBiase...
The further back we go, the numbers are going to increase. But and here's the... You want to hear something? Here's a little bit of... A little bit of information that I did not know. But I want to know if Surfer recalls this in any way. First of all, 2 things. There are 2 WWE champions that are unrecognized by the WWE. Okay? Bob Backlund won the World Wrestling Federation Championship February 20th, 1978 in Madison Square Garden. Per WWE's records, he held the title.
Thought he won it in Baltimore.
No, Superstar Billy Graham won it in Baltimore. He, per WWE's records, he held the title for 2,135 days. And hold on. And yeah, 2,135 days. But between February 20th, 1978, and December 26th, 1983, when he lost the title to the Iron Sheik, there are two title changes that WWE acknowledges but refuses to recognize. One of them being that Bob Backlund lost the title to Antonio Inoki in Tokushima, Japan.
Which nobody saw.
Nobody saw. But this one people did see. And it lasted all of 35 days. And WWE acknowledges it, but they refuse to... They acknowledge the incident, but they refuse to...
Put it in the record book.
And this goes back to October 19th, 1981, Madison Square Garden. They said that Greg Valentine defeated Bob Backlund to become the World Wrestling Federation champion. And that he was champion for 35 days. And here's what happened. I'm going to tell you why WWE doesn't acknowledge it in the record books. They acknowledge the incident of Bob Backlund winning the match, but the referee raised Greg Valentine's hand in victory and declared him the winner. That's according to the story. That aired live. I don't know. And that is what aired on television. And Greg Valentine for 35 days was recognized as the World Wrestling Federation champion until they had a rematch, and Backlund won the rematch. So,
wow.
I just learned that recently.
So all I'm going to say is wow.
But yeah, so we, not too many people. It was the same in WCW. There wasn't too many people that held
a mid-card title
that, and Hulk Hogan never was the U.S. champion.
Nope.
Randy Savage was never the U.S. champion.
Nope.
There's a few others, you know, but those are the first two that come to my mind.
Kevin Nash never was the U.S.
Never
champion.
Was the U.S. Kevin Nash was the Intercontinental Champion, though, in WWE.
I know. That's what keeps him off the list.
WWE.
Vader was
the U.S. champion. Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Do they consider the WCW champions part of the United States Championship?
Yes, they do.
The lineage, you mean?
Yes.
So that's the only belt left over from WCW.
Yes.
Yes. That is the only one. And ain't that many people that was mid-card that was not mid-card champion, just heavyweight champion. It's way less than WCW. Like you said, Hogan, Savage, Kevin Nash. Hell, I can't even think of nobody else. Unless you want to throw David Arquette's name on there. That's about damn it. Yeah. That's it, about five people. Everybody else pretty much had a mid-card title first. Because that used to be the thing, I guess. Even Flair was a U.S. champion one time, a couple times.
Yeah, Flair is a six-time United States champion, for those of you that don't know.
That's what I'm saying. So he tinkered around in the mid-card for a minute. I'm trying to think. Anybody else WCW champion?
Did Ronnie Garvin have a...
Mid-card? Was Ronnie Garvin ever U.S. champion?
No, he wasn't.
So he could be in there. I know Dusty was.
I believe Ronnie may have been the television champion or the national heavyweight champion. So, yeah.
Shit, nothing mid-card. Sorry, Sting.
Well, Sting held all the mid-card titles.
I know.
Sting was the television champion.
Back in the day, they had the Mid-South title, too, right?
No, that belonged to Mid-South.
I could have swore when it was NWA, they had like a...
The Mid-South was not a part of the NWA.
They had some kind of title like that.
Yeah, no. The Mid-South was not a part of the NWA. They had the Western States Heritage Championship, but...
And ain't that the belt that Luger won that time?
Yes, it is.
That they had the night he beat Barry Windham. They gave him that belt. Oh, poor Lex. He finally goes over and win the title and get that ugly belt. They said we had to get Lex a new belt. That was too ugly. Man, I just want to say one thing before we get out of here. 1990, if y'all want to see the times we living in now, like, racially and stuff like that, go back and watch the 1997 WWE Raw from earlier, from when the Hart Foundation is formed. Man, they laying into the U.S. And Brett is telling some truth. And Farouk was telling some too. And with the night Farouk asked Vince McMahon why there ain't never been no black heavyweight champion, Vince almost fell out of the ring. I almost died. I forgot all about that. It's going to be a black man running the WWF. And then the Undertaker said, if you ain't going to win the title, it ain't because you're black. It's because you can't beat the... And what the AA, what the hell happened to Paul Bearer to make him change his whole appearance in 1997?
I don't know.
Remember when he had the whole Band-Aid thing around his... What happened? Did he get set on fire? Did I miss that?
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
He came back with that red hair, talking about he had a secret. Hey, man. That was some good entertaining stuff, yo. It makes you mourn for days of Bret Hart getting kicked out of Shawn Michaels beating up an invalid. Stone Cold Steve, all them people should have been in jail. Cause you can't beat up people in a wheelchair. I'm just saying. It's laws against that. Ain't it, Surfer?
Yeah, it's laws against attacking people out in the street. That never stopped them.
Battery on the handicap.
I mean, the horseman should have went to jail for attacking people on the street.
Bro, we don't want to go there. There's so many people.
Instead of attacking people at gas stations and getting hurt.
That ain't nothing. Hell of.
That was funny. Arn attacked it was Watts, right? And ended up getting slapped in a submission hold. And Arn was crying.
Well, I think I think this is where we're going to... Because I'm dragging ass now.
Grinding no pills, yo.
Getting attacked in supermarkets. You supposed to go to jail for that?
Lee, no. You are 100% correct. Lee just texts that Paul Heyman's body is turning into Paul Bearer's body the final years.
The 1997.
Yeah.
That's true. He is doing it. Well, Paul's still throwing them zingers out there.
Oh, let me tell you something. I'm going to talk about Jim Cornette real quick.
He doesn't carry a phone anymore.
Let me talk about
Jim. And see it called Paul Bearer Fat Man, so.
Jim Cornette said something. We know that Jim Cornette is a savant. not a savant, but he's a he's a man of you know, he's a man of many things in wrestling. And Jim Cornette and his co-host Brian Last got into it over pizza the other day. But Jim Cornette's reaction to pizza was priceless. Let me see if I can cue this up here.
Explain to you, I have no idea what you're babbling about from your fucking
Mossad is the Israeli intelligence.
You think a little mustard's going to take me down, baby? No, no, no. It just anyway, we'll see what the Twitter comments are like over the next few days, because that hot dog debate is just getting started. And you're feeling a little bit better, so we're going to do some programming here.
A little bit.
Right? And let's give the people the programming schedule. Oh. We're going to do is the drive.
Let me see if I can get that.
And for the last play wrestling and the invisible. And then, as I said, I'm not taking any more dates, so I was but yeah, Michael is the only one who did the moonwalk. Coco wears a story job with the, you know, doors open. One ranger. Well, we said one riot, one Rosie, because this fucking guy, time, they pretty much had.
Hold on, I'll find it.
30 minutes of low.
I'll find it.
It was going on one of our channels, so we couldn't do.
Oh, here we go. Oh, that's when he reviews Raw.
Why the hell is Shaq wearing an ascot?
We started out with talk about this show. Good God.
It was better than
you're gonna good
patron.
I'll find it.
A patron of Patreon. Then a couple of years you could get the Houston wrestling show of the local cable.
Really good. Really good on the mic. It seemed
hold on.
It's enough sense where you can tell a hot new star, which was great. Who they are, what national TV, it doesn't matter anyway. Because the thing they did at the start was enough. Fuck, if we had any more Orton and Owens, they were on the screen for 40 minutes out of the fucking show, and it did 10 minutes worth of shit. They packed their waist in effluvia, willy-nilly around town, mentioned. And offer his services to you. What kind of vibe do you give off?
I have no idea, and I didn't want to break his heart and tell him I already have some ex-Mossad guys working for me.
So. Oh, for him. People are firmly in my corner on this. They think you're full of shit. They've tried to cancel you. Some people, I believe there's a picket line forming that as soon as they get off of work and their brother can drive them over to your place, they're going to be picketing out on the street saying, you don't know what you're talking about.
And they're going to run, right into the ex-Mossad.
Right into the ex-Mossad. Mow them down with the
Legion of Last. That's right.
You had a few people defending you, but we stirred up a hot dog issue. I'm not going to go into it too much. That was on the drive through this past week. That just started airing as we're recording this earlier in the week than we normally do, so we don't know how many people are on my side about the hot dog situation. I'm assuming most everybody will
be. You know, the pizza situation has been fairly split. A lot of people see the...
Anyways, there was a debate about pizza and that there should be no toppings on pizza, according to Jim Cornette's co-host. And Corny was... He went on a classic rant about it's not pizza then if it doesn't have toppings. So, I don't know. I thought I would end on that, but I can't find the audio. All right. Any final thoughts from you guys? Because really, I'm dragging ass.
We got to get you some rest, man.
Yeah.
Let's close up shop.
Let me see. Is there anything else here that I can play? Well, you wanted to play. You want me to play out with Psycho Sid's theme?
Oh yeah.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Should be Hall of Famer, 2-time World Wrestling Federation champ, who was over like Rover in 1996/97.
I know not this one, but I prefer this theme song. I just wanted to play it.
That's the WCW.
Oh, I thought it was a great song.
Hell no.
Oh, but you know
the world. But you had a World Wrestling Federation champion thing.
Yeah, you want
the World Wrestling Federation.
But I know what name? I know what song I'm gonna close on.
This Who's
is
the name?
This is to cue it up.
Especially in Madison Square Garden. Have you ever seen a crowd turn on somebody that quick like they did on Shawn Michaels in the Survivor Series?
Where's the we're live, pal? Oh no. I gotta get that quote. We're live, pal.
Who said that?
Jim Ross when Psycho Sid screwed up during a live promo. And he was like, can we do this over? And Jim Ross was like, we're live, pal.
Oh, we all know Sid was kind of shit on the mic, but he, damn it, he was over. Especially in 96.
Oh man! I mean, it was.
What Sid are you talking about?
The one that hit the old man with the camera.
All Sid.
The Psycho Sid or the
Psycho Sid.
Or
I don't even recognize Sid that Justice. Sid Justice shit.
We're live, pal.
Sid Vicious.
Psycho Sid. The two-time World Wrestling Federation champion that who was not in the Hall of Dale Bella twins.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here. Did they announce who the other Hall of Fame person?
Oh, let's see here. It might still be a little early. Let's see here. What channel is my FS1 on? Because I've had it on the cable news network.
And probably somebody else that don't deserve it.
Probably. All right, well, anyways, I'm going to close it with this song because I know Tony Sue will appreciate it because it's the only time I've ever heard this song in full and crystal clear. So when I play it, Tony C will be tickled to death. But with that said, tune in to Turnbuckle Throwbacks this coming Friday, live at 9 p.m. The Shiny Wizards live on Monday at 7. This program, The Rant, live at 9. And of course, we'll recap what happened at the Elimination Chamber next Tuesday right here on Rant Am Radio. So for Tony C, for Surf, for everybody listening live, I'm Double A. Enjoy the rest of your evening. We'll see you next week. Have a good night, everybody.
The chosen one.
minute. We're going to break. Hold on. Let's break into the song here. We're going to break because we are just now apparently getting some breaking news from WWE backstage. Hold on.
An easy road to the top for this superstar, but when opportunity came knocking, when the company desperately needed a new top bad guy, he answered swiftly.
JBL. He is the next inductee to the 2020 WWE Hall of Fame. No, he's not.
I thought that we already knew he was going there.
Justin Hawk Bradshaw.
I guess.
So, there you go. Have a good night, everybody.